Good evening. This is the KRFP Evening Report for Monday, March 12th, 2012. I'm Lee Robartis. In the news tonight, University of Idaho professor and researcher explains the impacts of climate change on agriculture in the Northwest. Election filing ended Friday. We'll give you an update on who's running for what. And Idaho legislature kills cigarette tax increase. We'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. But first, world headlines from Feature Story News, Free Speech Radio News, and the International News Net. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. The House Revenue and Taxation Committee voted 11-5 today to kill a bill that would have increased the tax on cigarettes in Idaho to $1.82 per pack. The current 57-cent per pack state tax on cigarettes is the lowest in the northwestern part of the country. Republican Representative Lenore Barrett of Challis voted against the bill, saying, "This is the most blatant case of social engineering I have ever seen. It's not the proper role of government to do social engineering through tax policy." Republican Representative Dick Harwood of St. Mary's argued that smoking may not be that harmful. Harwood, who does not smoke, said, "Just because you smoke doesn't mean you are going to be ill." Heidi Lowe of the American Cancer Society Cancer Action Network argued for the tax increase, saying, "It's been demonstrated again and again that higher cigarette prices reduce teen smoking." The House Agriculture Committee voted today to make a third conviction of torturing an animal a felony, including those committing cruelty to pets and companion animals and those who organize cockfights. The bill was sponsored by Republican Representative Ken Andrus of Lava Hot Springs in an attempt to head off a possible tougher animal cruelty ballot initiative. The bill now goes to the full House. The Idaho election scene became clearer as Friday's 5 p.m. deadline for candidate registration passed. In Legislative District 5, which is made up of Latah and Benoit counties, there will be two contested Republican primaries and one contested Democratic primary for the three legislative seats up for election. On the Senate side, Democratic first-term incumbent Dan Schmidt of Moscow is the only Democrat in the race, while Grisham Bauma of Troy and Barrett Schroeder of Moscow will face off in the Republican primary in May. Bauma defeated Schroeder's father, Gary Schroeder of Moscow, in the 2010 primary, ousting the nine-term Republican from the Senate. Bauma was in turn defeated by Schmidt. Bauma is associated with the Tea Party movement, while Barrett Schroeder launched his campaign with two press releases complaining the Tea Party movement in northern Idaho has warped into a militia movement. In one of the District 5 House races, Democrat Shirley Ringo will run for a seventh term in the House against the winner of a three-way Republican primary. The three Republicans are Kendrick Forestry consultant Bob Hasselt, computer consultant Ken DeVries of St. Mary's, and Ron Paul supporter Rex Joseph Steele of Moscow. In the other District 5 House race, one Republican is running. She is Cindy Agidius, the wife of former Moscow mayor and State Board of Education president Paul Agidius. The two Democratic candidates in that race are Paulette Jordan of Plummer and Jim Stivers of DeSmet. Jordan is on the Coeur d'Alene Tribal Council and is the enrollment director of the Coeur d'Alene Tribe. She also represents the Northwest region as a representative to the National Indian Gaming Association. According to a Coeur d'Alene Press article from April 2010, her Democratic primary opponent, House Painter Jim Stivers, ran as a Republican for State Senate in Legislative District 2 that year and was also a candidate for Senate in 2008. In a biography published on his Senate campaign website, it says he graduated from a Christian seminary and, quote, In 1995, he offered an episcopal office to independent ministries which wanted to practice the traditions of the ancient Celtic Church, a service which he provides to this day, unquote. It also says he studied Austrian school economics in seminary, which emphasizes free markets. 8-term Republican Representative Tom Trail of Moscow will not run for the legislature this year and is instead running for Latah County Commissioner. Trail is running for the seat currently held by Democrat Jennifer Barrett, who is not running for re-election. The other Republican in that race is Richard Walzer of Viola. The Democrat in that race is Kurt Obermeier of Moscow. In the other county commission race, Republican Dave McGraw is unopposed. In the Latah County Sheriff's race, incumbent Republican Sheriff Wayne Rausch of Moscow will be challenged in the May primary by Rick Henderson of Moscow and Richard Skiles of Potlatch. The winner will take on Democrat Keith Wilson of Deary in November. Outside of Latah County in District 7, which stretches from south of Riggins to just north of just south of Sandpoint and includes all of Idaho, Clearwater, and Shoshone counties and a small section of Bonner County, there are two Republican candidates for Senate, one Democrat, and one Independent. The Republican candidates facing off in the May Senate primary are incumbent Cheryl Nuxall of Cottonwood and Mary Wade Heston of Kellogg. Also in the race are Democratic former District Judge John Bradbury and Independent Shoshone County Commissioner John Cantamessa. In the District 7 House race, in one of the District 7 House races, there will be a three-way Republican primary for one seat, which with incumbent Shannon McMillan of Silverton, Rex Rammel of Kamiai, and Ed Galloway all running with no Democratic or third-party candidates. In the race for the other seat, there is a Republican and Democrat, both without primary opponents. The Republican is incumbent Paul Shepard of Riggins, and the Democrat is James Paradiso of Grangeville. Incumbent U.S. Representative Raul Labrador of Eagle has primary opponent Reed McCandless of Moscow. There will also be a Democratic primary in the District 1 congressional race. The two Democrats are former NFL football player Jimmy Ferris of Meridian and Cynthia Klinkingbeard, a Boise physician who specializes in geriatrics. The other candidate in that race is Libertarian Rob Oates of Caldwell. In Washington, Democratic Representative Jay Inslee of Seattle has resigned from Congress effective Tuesday, March 20th, to concentrate on his bid for governor. With fellow Democrat Chris Gregoire declining to run for a third term, Inslee will face Republican State Attorney General Rob McKenna in an August top two primary. Inslee said, "It was a difficult decision, but what I need to do right now is focus all my attention on talking to people about what's really important, creating jobs and growing our economy." McKenna released a statement saying, "I look forward to hearing Congressman Inslee explain how 15 years in Washington, D.C. have prepared him to lead our state now that he is quitting Congress. Our team has been waging a campaign of ideas since last June, yet the congressman waited over 7 months after announcing his candidacy to release any specific proposals." Idaho Department of Environmental Quality Smoke Management Program Director Mary Anderson is proposing increasing the ozone readings under which field burning is allowed and changing Idaho rules that ban field burning on weekends and holidays. Anderson said many southern Idaho growers are weekend farmers who have full-time jobs during the week and cannot burn except on weekends. Regarding the ozone levels, Anderson said some of the state limits are hit when federal standards say the air quality is classified as good. Anderson said it didn't make sense that we were shutting down burning when air quality was still good. We want to take advantage of all the good burn days when the smoke will go straight up and you won't see or smell it on the ground. However, the Sandpoint-based group Safe Air for Everyone, who won a 2007 lawsuit against the widespread Kentucky bluegrass field burning in northern Idaho, is against the change. Safe Air for Everyone says three northern Idaho residents died due to respiratory attacks between 1996 and 2006 because of field burning in the panhandle. They also say three people died in southern Idaho during the period due to traffic accidents caused by field burning smoke. Field burning resumed in 2008 in Idaho under a mediated settlement of the Safe Air for Everyone lawsuit. Safe Air for Everyone director Patty Gora McRaven said, "We've been able to work pretty well under this agreement to this point, so this is a shocking turn of events. If you mess with this now, we will have no choice but to try to stop it through the courts or other measures." Gora McRaven said, "Since the agreement went into effect, quote, we no longer have people rushing to the emergency room, and we no longer have incidents of deaths." An entomologist and professor of chemical ecology at the University of Idaho says current climate change projections for the Northwest show an increase in temperatures across the region, while some parts of the region will be drier and others will be wetter. Professor Sanford Eigenbrody spoke to the Palouse Environmental Sustainability Coalition yesterday at the 1912 building in Moscow about the impacts of climate change on agriculture in the region. Here, Eigenbrody refers to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change.
It's increasingly clear, according to the IPCC, that the relative climatic stability of North America is probably coming to an end, and we're going to have some changes in the climate stability, and I think some of the evidence in the newspapers may be consistent with those projections. But it's been warming anyway. For the last 100 years, it's been warming gently throughout the whole 20th century. There was warming. In the last 10 to 12 years, have been the warmest. Ten of the 11 warmest years on record occurred since 2002. So and our growing season has lengthened in North America. It's a longer time from the last frost to the first frost, basically. So those are not necessarily bad things for agriculture. A longer growing season is helpful. I mean, it may be one of the reasons why it's easier now to grow chickpeas in this region than it was 25 years ago when the seasons were a little shorter.
University of Idaho chemical ecology professor Brandon Eigenbrody showed climate models specifically for the Northwest, which was defined as Oregon, Washington, and Idaho.
After 2000, various models predict different rates of warming. And you see all those lines. Look at the variability in the models. So that gives you an idea of how uncertain this climate science is. But you can also see that there's none of them that project that there's no warming. Even the lowest one on there predicts some warming. So they're all in agreement on that. And the other one is precipitation. And there it looks like it's going to get wetter. But you see some of the models don't say that it's going to get wetter. So we have to be prudent in thinking about these, understanding these, that the best science available has a certain amount of imprecision.
One later slide mapped out temperature and precipitation change in the coming decades in the region. While the entire region would be warming, the area which is predicted to be drier covers almost all of the state of Oregon and part of Washington. Areas which will have more precipitation or about the same include most of northern Idaho. Eigenbrody says climate scientists say it's likely that the entire region will have drier summers than in the past. Eigenbrody is directing the largest research grant project ever received by the University of Idaho, which is being conducted by researchers at the UI in collaboration with researchers at Washington State University, Oregon State University, and with the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, called Regional Approaches to Climate Change. The five-year, $20 million federally funded research grant will study agricultural adaption and mitigation strategies in the region due to climate change.
Second one is mitigation, which means changing our production system so they don't make the problem worse. Mitigate anthropogenic effects on climate. So agriculture actually can make the climate warmer because it's a source of greenhouse gases. It comes right out of the ground and into the air. And across the world, it's very large. It's 30, depending on what statistic you look at, it's 30 to 50% of the surface has got agriculture on it, all emitting these gases. So it's a distributed source, but if you could learn how to run those systems more effectively, you could eliminate this driver. So we have to do that, and we aim to do that in our project.
Once again, that was University of Idaho entomologist Brandon Eigenbrody. The project will also help farmers use nitrogen more efficiently and increase carbon sequestration. One way is to cut down on nitrogen runoff by applying different amounts of nitrogen fertilizer on the lower parts of fields where yields are more affected than on hilltops where the fertilizer will run off more. Eigenbrody says farmers can save money by doing this using GPS technology that tells the applicator in a tractor how much to fertilize certain parts of fields. He also noted the GPS technology will cut down on overlapping fertilizer applications, which by some estimates occurs on up to 10% of the cropland area. You're listening to the KRFP Evening Report. This is KRFP Moscow. A multi-agency police task force is investigating an incident in which Idaho State troopers killed a man in Hayden early this morning after what police described as a 20-minute chase in which the man hit a state trooper who had exited his cruiser with his car. The man first brought the attention of state troopers after his license plate scanned in as a stolen car. The trooper was treated for minor injuries at Kootenai Medical Center. The man was also taken to the hospital after he was shot at around 2:40 a.m., where he was pronounced dead. The University of Idaho has not filed a response to a claim filed by the family of a university student killed by her former professor within the 90-day time limit for filing such a response. The family of murdered University of Idaho student Katie Benoit filed an at least $3 million claim against the University of Idaho on December 8th. Because the UI has not responded, the family is now free to sue. Police report Benoit was killed in the yard of Benoit's off-campus apartment by her former academic advisor and professor Ernesto Bustamante, August 22nd. They say Bustamante then killed himself while a police SWAT team surrounded his room at the university in Best Western on the morning of August 23rd. The claim alleges the university, quote, recklessly failed in its duty to protect Katie Benoit from Bustamante. The claim also says the university failed to prevent Bustamante's sexual harassment of Benoit, to fully inform law enforcement of the danger Bustamante presented, and failed to require Bustamante to obtain mental health care, quote, at a time when he was in obvious need of such care. A short windstorm hit Moscow yesterday afternoon at about 3:30 p.m., knocking out power to part of downtown and nearby neighborhoods. Radio Free Moscow was without power and off the air from about 3:30 p.m. to shortly after 6 p.m. A wind burst knocked over a 100-foot tall pine tree between the sidewalk and street in front of the house on the corner of Hayes and 3rd Streets in Moscow. The tree fell across the lawn and did not hit the house. Well, that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Taking a look at the weather, 60% chance of rain tonight, mainly before midnight, cloudy, low 39, south winds 15 to 20, gusts as high as 30. Wind advisory for tomorrow, 90% chance of rain showers before noon, then snow showers, high 45. Breezy west winds 15 to 25 with gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Little or no snow accumulation expected. 20% chance of snow showers Tuesday night before midnight. Mostly cloudy, low 28. West winds 15 to 20, gusts up to 30, and a 30% chance of rain Wednesday afternoon. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, high 47. Currently overcast, 34 degrees in Moscow. Thanks for tuning in to the KRFP Evening Report. Coming up next, news and opinions from the West Side with Eat the Airwaves, followed by Flashpoints, the daily investigative news magazine from Pacifica Radio. At 7:30, live in the studio, Climate Justice Forum with Helen Yost of Wild Idaho Rising Tide. And we'll also have Occupy Wall Street Radio at 9 o'clock, Scooter with the Inner Side out of Houston at 9:30, Kaput Radio at 10, and various other music and other programming later on in the night. I'm Lee Robartis. Thanks for tuning in. Remember, you can help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscasts during Morning Mix and the recordings of local events, public affairs shows, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on Radio Free Moscow. Becoming a member of Radio Free Moscow, memberships are $30, $35 a year, $20 for students. You can mail your memberships to Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. It's Radio Free Moscow, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the Radio Free Moscow website to find out more ways to help Radio Free Moscow. Have a good night. This is KRFP Moscow.
In the studios once again.